WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And the 2012 Nobel Prize in Literature goes to Chinese writer Mo Yan, probably best known for his 1987 novel Red Sorghum. This marks the second time the Swedish Academy honors a Chinese writer with the $1.2 million prize. Joining me to discuss the announcement and Mr. Mo Yan's work in context is NYU Professor of East Asian Studies Xu Dongzhang. Professor, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Glad to be here.
And I understand that Mo Yan is a pen name that means don't speak. Is there a subtext there?
Well, maybe. His name is actual name is Guan Mo Ye, so it's close. He did not have to use this name to mean no speech or no talk in the 80s, which was a very open and forward-looking, outward-looking age.
But he chose it anyway for whatever his purposes.
Exactly.
He was honored by the Academy for his hallucinatory realism, they called it, that blends folktales, history, and the contemporary. Can you tell us about some of his better or lesser known works?
Yes, I think his major works were produced in the 90s and in the past decade, even though he made his reputation in the 80s. But those were just novellas and short stories, highly explosive, extremely energetic and innovative, stylistically speaking. But in terms of sheer scope, the epic proportion, and his major works are his later ones. One is called Life and Death Are Wearing Me Out. Life and Death Are Wearing Me Out. Mm-hmm. It's a Chinese translation of a Buddhist term. Literally means life and death and fatigue. That's one coming out just a few years ago. And the other major work, I think, is called The Republic of Wine or Wine Country. Was written just a year or two after the Tiananmen incident.
Are there major themes that he tends to explore repeatedly?
Yes. It's calling his work hallucinatory realism. I guess it's a careful way to avoid calling it magic realism, which is a better known term in literary circles. Of course, that refers to the Latin American boom. Mo Yan was heavily influenced by that movement, by writers like Garcia Marquez. He was sometimes dubbed as the Chinese Marquez, but that might be a little misleading. There are stylistic similarities, but I think the main themes are oftentimes war, revolution, famine, death, violence, family sagas, those kind of things. And in terms of style, it's a mix of imagination and realism.
He was a favorite to win this award. Some have criticized his allegiance to the Chinese Communist government, while others say he has been quite creative in his observations and critiques of Chinese history. What can you tell us about his background and sort of the political context of Mo Yan and his writing?
Yeah, he was born in 55, so he's literally a child of Mao's China, and he was he grew up in rural China, in northern China, Shandong province. He later joined the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, and then went on to become a student studying at the Military Academy of Literature and Art, And later he was a graduate student at Luxun Academy of Literature. So his personal experience is kind of a mixed and a rich political. I personally think this Mo Yan as a recipient of Nobel Prize in Literature is less political in nature than the first Chinese writer who won the prize, Gao Xingjian, in 2000. Simply because I think it's a recognition of Mo Yan's literary creativity. He has been generally considered as the leading contender for this kind of a major international recognition. And it's just a recognition of his literary talent. So in nature, it's less political. Of course, everything coming from China is bound to be politicized. The fact that he is a vice president of All China Writers Association, he has other titles. He's also a professor, research fellow affiliated with an institute on literature and art, but these are I don't think it's necessarily these things should necessarily be regarded as the basis on which we judge his literary works. He's certainly not a political dissident, and he has no interest in becoming one.
I did read, however, that some of his writing has been banned in China. Is that true to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
What about the Swedish Academy? How big is the panel of judges, and who are they? How do they select the winner in literature? Do you follow this?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is that it's a fairly small panel consisting of 5-6 professors, all members of the Swedish Academy. The process is long and careful, but rather insular. They've made good choices and bad choices. There are just as many great writers who did not receive the Nobel Prize. You know, James Joyce, Proust, Tolstoy, Chekhov, just name a few. But on the other hand, it's a great tradition simply because it has picked many, many great, wonderful, universally loved writers. And I'm very happy that Mo Yan has become the first Chinese writer writing in China who has received this great honor.
Do you expect this award to expand the reach of Chinese literature, which has not garnered the same attention as that of writers in many other parts of the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a very create very positive impact on reception of Chinese contemporary Chinese literature in different parts of the world. The last Chinese Nobel laureate, Gao Xingjian, who was unfortunately banned in China and who was who regards himself as a political dissident, and his work is highly modernistic and writerly, does not seem to have nearly as big and deep a base in terms of readership and influence. So I think Mo Yan is, in terms of writing and literary sensibilities, energy, productivity, thematic coverage, I think he's a far better representative of Chinese literary productivity.
Just one thing more on the political context. I'm looking at the website of the British paper, The Spectator, and it says he is accused by some, Mo Yan, of being too close to the party line, although he has had books banned in the past. However, others say that he is subtly subversive in a country that limits free speech. He argues that censorship and indeed more subtle limitations on expression actually benefit creativity, forcing writers to, as he put it in Granta recently, inject their own imagination to isolate them from the real world, or maybe they can exaggerate the situation, making sure it is bold, vivid, and has the signature of our real world. What do you think about any of that?
Yeah, this is a familiar position. So seeing Chinese literature through the prism of politics, you know, dividing the field. between those who go with the Chinese government or those who oppose the Chinese government. I don't think this is a very productive way of looking at Chinese literature, which is far more productive and complex and intricate than this kind of a black and or white position taking approach. I think Mo Yan is first and foremost a writer who's highly self-conscious, who is extremely attentive to his own sort of a style, and also the style, not only in terms of aesthetic formal innovation, but also in terms of its ability to absorb the experiences of 20th century Chinese history.
And we have to leave it there because we're out of time. Mo Yan, the winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature today, and we thank Xu Dongzheng, NYU Professor of East Asian Studies. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.